Hey everyone, welcome to another Stack 8 podcast. My name is Scott Williams, and with me as always, Mr. Stephen Karashinsky. Steve, how are you?
Doing well, Scott. How you doing?
Good, man. It's we've got an interesting topic today. This will be good. I think this is fairly timely. It's really in and around the concept of outtasking. And obviously we've seen this going on for years. But it seems to be becoming more and more prevalent as things become more and more complex for companies.
And you're talking out-tasking like management, for example, just
yeah. It's the concept of, you know, companies are looking at their environments, whether, you know, it's IT, telephony, unified communications, obviously, all those types of things, and realizing there is a lot more complexity than there ever was. So let's start on that, because it's like this is kind of interesting in the sense of that evolutionary scale in which things just become more and more kind of crazy every day as far as the way the technology is evolving. I mean, give me your input, because I mean, you've been living this for a really long time as far as the UC environment. What changes have you seen just even say in the last 5 years as far as that evolutionary complexity?
So I think things are definitely, so it's funny because the end user experience is getting easier and easier, but to make that end user experience easy, there's a lot of complexity on the background to make that happen. And one thing that is creating this or the cause of some of it is that we're using a lot more technology now, and we're using a lot more tools in our day-to-day in order to communicate more than ever. So 5 years ago, you know, using video calls and whatnot, you know, people were doing it, of course, but it's not like today, especially, you know, being in a pandemic where every call right now is a video call and has become mainstream. And I can't, you know, imagine having a business call with somebody that's not on video today. Whereas 5 years ago, it was still early days, more for early adopters. People were really uncomfortable turning video on when they were calling. But today, you know, whether you're sitting at home, which we all are today, you're kind of in your pajamas or you're not, that camera's going on, because if it's not, it's more weird to not have video on than have video on, for example. And I'm not just talking about video, but the instant messaging clients that are around, whether it's, you know, Cisco Jabber, Microsoft Teams, or, you know, what was Skype for Business, Slack, all of these guys are now household brand names, but they weren't necessarily 5 years ago. So when you add in all these communication tools to make them all work, and then the second thing is they could be even working together from different manufacturers, that's complexity. But the value and benefit for users and for businesses, you know, anywhere, any device, I can almost have as rich a communication experience as I can having face to face with someone. So the benefits that customers, businesses, or end users are reaping from this are tremendous. But yeah, to make it all work and support it and run it day to day, it's complex. There's no doubt.
Well, and you mentioned two things that are really interesting, right? Is that, I mean, first and foremost, you know, it's funny, like you say, you know, 5 years ago, you know, people were using video or were hesitant to use video calls. I would say 5 months ago, people were still hesitant to use, you know, and it's odd in that sense, because for all the things that have happened in 2020, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, a global pandemic has really changed kind of the face of at least the knowledge-based economy business side of things, is that there has been this concept of, I will call it, forced digital transformation, right? It's like suddenly, like we all, you know, we talked about this in our last podcast as well. I think it was Friday, March 13th, which was a little ominous, I guess. But, you know, that's the day in which everything kind of shut down. Everybody was supposed to move home, and, you know, like offices were closing their doors, obviously not businesses, but it's just, you know, from that physical environment thing. So there was a lot of pressure on IT departments to make just what we're doing right now seamlessly, and we've been doing for a very long time. But for the outside world, I mean, not being a UC company, right? Like, that was tough. The other, I guess, major factor that tends to impact this as well, and you mentioned this, is that it's, you know, it's getting easier and easier for the end user. And I think the end user unto itself is also one of those huge factors in why things are becoming so highly complex, because, again, like, I'll go back to sort of the digital transformation scenario, where there's all of these people on a daily basis in their personal lives that are able to do things based on the smallest level, call it mobile apps and those kind of things, right? So it's like, hey, I can, you know, aside from just the very basics of I can order a coffee from my favorite coffee shop and just pick it up through the drive-thru and drive away, there's that. But when you look at it from a communication side of things, it's like, you know, I have teenagers in my house. I mean, God knows they've been FaceTiming for years now. You know, being able to just click a button and talk to somebody face-to-face via camera, the, as you mentioned, instant messaging, presence, all those kinds of things, are things that actually have permeated the general populace from a mobility perspective for quite a few years now. The challenge is that, yeah, it's super easy for a one-on-one scenario to happen where, hey, I'm just going to ring you on FaceTime and talk to you from the comfort of my mobile phone. Those habits, though, are something that really impact the complexity of the IT environment, because now suddenly it's the, okay, people are expecting a certain scenario at work that they also have in their personal life. Personal life is a 99-cent app or something, that's great. Rolling something out corporate-wide through 5,000-plus employees, addressing everything from compliance to security to all of those things, how it integrates into all these different systems, how it has to, you know, that's a huge issue. I guess, like, so all that said, like, I mean, for you, what are you seeing as far as the drivers within companies? One, obviously, to embrace more and more highly complex UC because of not just want, but actual need. And where does that sit within the, you know, trying to, I'll call it, appease the masses and expectations within companies as far as trying to address everyone's personal habits and what they like? Some people like FaceTime, some people like Zoom, some people like, you know, it's like, I've literally talked to a friend of mine who's a VP of sales, and he's got young sales guys closing deals on Snapchat. So I'm just saying, right? So where, like, that's a lot of stuff, that moving parts out in the world that now suddenly has to be incorporated in an environment. Like, how does that add to that complexity?
So it's tough, Scott. And there is tremendous pressure on businesses and organizations to adapt and to adapt quickly to, you know, their constituents or internal customers, because you're absolutely right. What you can do at home is potentially far more advanced than what you can do in your office, but also the stakes are very different at home versus in the enterprise when you're talking about protecting your IP or your business or your strategy and whatnot from the outside world. So there's a lot of things that don't, you know, get considered when the users are making requests in the business that aren't necessarily fair or taken a little bit out of context. You know, I think some of the things that we're seeing businesses do is, and we touched a little bit on this last time, I think, is customers and organizations are getting more open to using multiple manufacturers for their UC applications. And what I mean by that is, you know, just because your phone system is XYZ doesn't mean your entire UC stack will be. Because what customers are trying to do right now is say, okay, what is my biggest common denominator that I can satisfy all these different stakeholders within my organization to give them all the tools they need? Which is the one that suits them best? And that may not be the one that, you know, is my phone system or PBX. It may not be the one that is my contact center, but it may be one that is my hub for, you know, my chat, my clicking to call and things of that nature. And maybe that's what my common denominator is. And then how do I build off of there? you know, before, what led customers to make their decisions on their platforms was either the phone system itself or potentially what the contact center was going to use. And that kind of drove decisions for communications throughout the organization. Now, businesses are looking at it from the opposite way. What is the application or tool that is the best and easiest to use for my users? Which one are they going to like the best? Which that training is best? Which suits everybody from the person that's been there for 25, 30 years to the person that just graduated university and is coming in there. You know, this is their first week. And then how do I connect these other key components, whether it's my PBX or my contact center or whatnot? So just the thought process on how customers are looking at this and the core basis of where their unified, where their communications is stemming from is a major shift that we're seeing be adjusted now in the market. And I think it makes a lot of sense because before it was about, you know, what's the right equipment? What do I need to so that I can work? Now it's all focused on user experience, which, you know, we've all heard, you know, customer experience, user experience. It's a very hot, you know, buzzword today, but it's not really a buzzword because it's critical to the success of these organizations working well. And, you know, customer experience is really means something that is easy to do. You know, and it always makes me think of this Steve Jobs quote where he said something like, you know, simple is harder than complex, or simple can be harder than complex. And you have to work really hard to get your thinking clean to make things simple. And it all starts with the strategy of what these organizations are going to do. Is what is the goal that they want to do? What is that lowest common? What is that biggest thing that's the common denominator that affects everybody? What's that hub? And then how do we attach all these other pieces that we need in the, you know, most cost-effective way?
You know, you mentioned something too. It's like all the pieces, right? Like this is where, again, like, I mean, I'll keep using the word complexity because it's this really does get tough for a lot of people internally at companies. And it goes back to the topic at hand about outtasking and why, like, someone would want to hand, you know, like, I guess not hand over, but I guess in this case, share sort of, you know, the tasks involved with managing something as massive as UC. And it has to be tough for people internally at companies, right? It's that, like, so many times I know that both you and I see this daily where our customers, and not just our customers, like just companies in general, IT departments are already stretched thin. You know, digital transformation unto itself has added a lot of stuff to the, you know what I mean? Like there's all of this, you know, okay, I've got, you know, we're building new applications within our company for whatever that may be. We're also trying to keep the lights on as far as just IT in general. And that's has nothing to do with UC. That has to do with, you know, everything from, you know, maintaining servers to, you know, whatever, you know, the IT task is. So now it becomes the, does IT have to be or can they be a master of everything? And I don't think it's fair to ask that of them, I guess.
So they can't. There's too much. And for organizations to do all of these things really well means you need a specialist and a guru in all these areas. And to your point, you know, we're just focused in our organization on communications, right? So that's voice communications, that's video communications, and that's kind of chat communications all put together. But to make those things work well, we're talking about telephony, we're talking about messaging, we're talking about audio video conferencing, we're talking about collaboration tools, we're talking about contact center. I mean, just the contact center on its own, it's a massive application that is critical to organizations from a service perspective. There's a lot of contact centers that are revenue, that are critical to revenue generation for organizations. What does that have to do with the telecom aspect of, you know, communications running across a network? Nothing. So you need lots of different expertise in different areas. And even when we talk about audio video conferencing, There's tons of, you know, audiovisual components to that. Just because you're an audio video conferencing specialist doesn't mean you're a WAN specialist or know a lot about, you know, SIP trunking, for example. So just for UC, Unified Communications, customer makes no sense financially or operationally to have four or five different experts just for each of these individual categories of technology on staff. And then if you want to support environments, you know, 24/7, well, one person is not really enough to do that properly as well either, right? Because people go on vacation, they've got project work to do, they get sick, there's a whole bunch of things going on. So it becomes a daunting task. And as a result, managed services are growing more and more across all industries. This isn't a Unified Communications thing, because the examples that we're talking about are exactly the same, you know, whether you're in, you know, core IT space or any enterprise application. So we're not unique in that sense. But that's why these managed services are so critical, is customers need help. And where the expertise lies in customers, where it's really needed, are those champions for the business that really understand what the business is trying to do, and then liaise with a managed service partner to execute and make sure that stuff gets done and gets done really, really well.
Well, there's, you know, here's another point to that, right? Is that when we look at the history of managed services, for a very long time, managed services were about, and I'm talking more like, I'll call it like the IT space and some of the telecom space. And this is like, I'm going to say pre-UC. And it was always viewed as, well, managed services are good because I can, quote unquote, outsource something. And that was like all about keeping the lights on. Like, it was just like, you know, it's good. I can save a couple people on headcount. I don't have to really worry about it. It goes back to that old term, one throat to choke, so to speak. You know, and a lot of the times people were happy to do that in the sense of, well, it just keeps the lights on. The problem is now is that, again, this goes back to, I would call it not just like, you know, there's obviously the expectations of those that work for the company and like, you know, all your employees and all of their communications habits, preferences, those types of things, how that integrates into business process and the like. Then simultaneously, you mentioned contact center, right? It's like now it's also, there's an entire world looking at businesses to adapt to their customers' way of wanting to connect and do all these things. So this isn't about keeping the lights on. Like, this now becomes like kind of mission critical in the sense that it's like, oh my God, like this affects everything from, you know, business connectivity, productivity, brand, you know, market acquisition. Like, all of these things are all now horribly interconnected. And you even mentioned things like, you know, the expertise, like four or five people to manage this stuff. It's far more than even four or five people, right? Because you start looking at, okay, so you need network engineers, then you need telecom engineers. Those are two totally very, very different things. Like, mm-hmm. Understanding the technology behind networking versus telephony unto itself. Then there's application integration. Then there's all of the, I'll call it even like further down the chain, like of inner working parts, where you start to, you know, you said like, hey, there's all of these multiple vendors that might be, you know, brought into the fold, so to speak. So now you're talking what? Cisco, Microsoft, like the list goes on and on, right? You mentioned like, yeah, is it Microsoft Teams? Is it Skype? Is it Zoom? Is it like, God, like, how many different applications? And that doesn't include all of the call center stuff and all of the, like, everything else that's happening. I personally, at this point, like, I don't know how companies could do it. Like, because you're literally like at a certain point. And here's like probably a good analogy, right? Is that when we talk about the idea of, you know, managing all of this highly complex stuff, in a previous life, you know, in what I did for a living, people would call me up and say, hey, I want you to develop an e-commerce platform that's exactly like Shopify. Okay. So Shopify, if people don't know, I mean, they're, you know, massive Canadian company. They're, you know, billions of dollars, all those kinds of things. And it's like, okay, so I guess if you want me to, you know, build you that as like the single expert that you're going to hire to come into the room to, you know, do this, well, I'm going to need a couple million dollars to start and then another couple hundred million dollars to maintain it, because what you're asking me to do is create a company within a company. And they're like, well, why would I do that? I don't know. You could also just go pay Shopify to do it, because that's all they do, right? Like, now it's that evergreen technology. You're not like, why would you want an entire group of people in your company just trying to maintain software, build it, be a software company? Like, that seems crazy when you say it out loud. But it's the same thing with UC, right? It's that, do you want to, or any other IT scenario in many ways, is that, so let's look at UC for a moment. So you want me to be a phone company while still trying to be whatever other company we are? That seems, yeah, that seems nuts too, right? Because it's like, now it's the amount of time, energy, money, bandwidth, everything that goes along with that. Suddenly it's like I'm running two companies at once, one of which I shouldn't be running because we're not professionals in this anyway.
So the only time it does work, and there are cases, of course, so for respect for all those organizations where it does make sense, it makes sense because their UC is providing such an overarching strategic advantage that they need those people on site, because those UC capabilities are helping them over the top outpace their competition in certain areas, whether it's certain customizations that they're putting in speed and automation that have been built into those communications to react faster and better and more in tune for their customers to, you know, jump ahead or leap ahead of their customers. But generally speaking, it does not make sense for a business who's focused on manufacturing XYZ or professional service or organization to be a phone company at the same time. It's just not necessary today, because like the cost there's just costs. It doesn't make sense, right? Like, forget operationally. Managed services done well, there is a legit business case, and if customers aren't seeing that business case, well then there's an issue with the provider that we're working with. But we've done the math, we've done the ROIs. There is real hard dollar business cases for customers to move to managed service. And so if you're guaranteed great service, and it's at the right price, which is better than doing it on your own, I'm not sure why you would look to challenge those things.
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, there's some companies that are doing this well internally and those kind of things. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, respect to them for being able to do it and maintaining that. And it is a core part of their business. But I personally also think that's an outlier, right? Like, I mean, you mentioned it's like, hey, they need those people, quote unquote, internally to manage, I would call it that vision looking forward as well, right? It's not, again, it's not about keeping the lights on. It's like, this is about outpacing our competition, making sure that we are ahead of the game every step of the way, not just looking at what's happening today and tomorrow, but next year, 5 years out, 10 years out, potentially, where the entire industry is moving from, again, I'll call it that, both, you know, user and customer expectation side of things, and what new tools and all the, you know, kind of cool outward facing stuff is happening, but also how to manage that internally and integrate that internally. Is that not also the essence of outtasking, right? Because as you said, if you have the right provider, should there be any difference between somebody sitting, quote unquote, internally or externally? Because I mean, to me, I see that as being more of a, you know, calling it splitting legal hairs over the what side of an employment contract you reside on more so than anything. Like, I mean, if you're truly getting the value that you want and need out of that outtasked company, that company should feel as though they're just part of the team anyway, right?
Like, so I definitely agree. And I think that's why it's worth, you know, when we're talking about managed services and, you know, the terms outsourcing, outtasking get thrown around a lot, I think I think this is where it's really important to differentiate, because, you know, there's a lot of organizations that we work with and even that we don't, that we speak with, that just haven't had an amazing experience when they've outsourced. And what ends up happening is, you know, you send all your business to another company, and everything works to the letter of the contract, and there is no flexibility, there is no agility based in that contract, because what an organization does on the outsourcing side is they look at all their, you know, the way they price it is they look at potentially what their costs are going to be over the next 5 years, and these major outsourcing contracts are typically that long, and then they try as hard as they can to whittle that down and put the least amount of effort in to get those dollars. And that's
just that weird, like, you know, being like hyper transactional over things, right? It's that every time you call, I'm going to hit a button and the clock starts, and, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's why there's no flexibility within the organization as business change and evolves and the needs change, because none of these things were factored in, and it means it's going to be a little bit more work, or they have to change a process or adjust, and like they just don't want to do it. It's very complicated and maybe costly. Versus on the outtasking side, and kind of, you know, where we see our model fitting in well is, when we hear outtasking, it means us ultimately becoming an extension of our customer's team. And so we work for them and we adjust with them. You know, that's why our model is like a co-managed model. It's not our system at the end of the day, just because we're working for you. It's your system, you own it, you've hired us to do, you know, A to Z, A to M, A to E, whatever it is, we're comfortable with it. But you also, on this outtasking aspect, you have a ton of opportunity to adjust as business does. And when you talk about contracts that are like 5 years, I even heard this week an organization that's involved in an outsourcing contract that's 7 years old. That's 7 years long. Excuse me. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a lifetime. That's,
you know, think about business 7 years ago versus today. If you're still stuck in that same contract doing things the same way as they were done, and every time you want to do something, there's a ridiculous charge and you really have the opportunity to get taken advantage of, it's terrible. And so what's the result of that? Nobody's happy. Bad taste in your mouth about managed services and whatnot, because you didn't really get anything at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, from an outtasking perspective and managed services, and when we look at us being an extension of the customer's team, it's way more than just keeping the lights on. Like, of course, we're supporting a customer's environment. 101 is this stuff's got to work. If it's not working, there's a major problem. But the other responsibility that's put on our shoulders, and I think where customers' expectations are today, is, yeah, of course you got to keep my stuff up and running and working, but am I using this effectively? What else can I be doing with this system? How else can this help my business succeed? Here's this business initiative. How can my UC system adjust and help me be more and more successful? How can I look to save money? These are the demands and questions that are being placed on us today by our customers, and I think rightfully so. But it's far different than in the traditional world of outsourcing, where, like, listen, you're being paid to keep the lights on and follow this SLA. Everything else is a charge. And then because I have you in my contract, if you want something else, unfortunately, you're going to really pay for that. And it's that model is a little bit broken. And I think giving customers a bad name, but the good news for customers is not everybody's like that. And so there's a lot of opportunity to get much better service these days. And I it's just a requirement in order to be successful and keep customers happy.
So let me ask you this, because we're coming up on our 30 minutes here. Yep. And we want to obviously be respectful of our listeners' time.
Yep.
So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Awesome.
Because you know I like doing that. So we were saying, right, it's like you outtask something, you're getting the experts in the field, and they're able to help you plan for the future, plan for the next big, you know, kind of strategic move, those kind of things. As the true UC guru in the room, what do you see coming in the next 5 years? What's the next big kind of evolutionary step in UC where companies should be aiming their sites?
You're talking from a technology perspective?
Well, I think it's more so, I guess, like where technology and strategy collide, right? Is that where do companies need to be moving to hit the mark for the next 3 to 5 years?
Look, the best way I could say it is making it really simple and easy to engage with their customers and engage with their partners and engage with their, you know, internal team. It's all around simplicity and getting things done. I think technology getting in the way of people have had enough of it.
Yeah.
People have no time for it and have no patience. And so, you know, whether down the road in 5 years, this is just increased automation to make stuff happen, more AI, you know, more artificial intelligence involved. So customers get quicker access to information and be able to do transactions and then reach an expert when they need to. It doesn't matter, you know, what the element is, but the core of what it is easy, 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 and simple to use. And all the tools and things that we're talking about and all the innovation coming out is really to hit that need in the market, because in some cases, it's still very difficult and cumbersome, and it can't be to move forward for businesses to really address their customers' needs, give them a great experience, and move really, really quickly. So to me, that's the core of what this is all about.
And you just added that extra layer of complexity, knowing that there's certain things like AI and machine learning that are going to be added in, right? That's once again, more and more expertise needed.
So it is 100%. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said before, like making something simple is really, really hard. But if it was easy, then everybody could do it. So we love those challenges at Stack 8. You know, one of our core values is being problem solvers. So we love being faced with these kind of challenges, and, you know, are shoulder deep in product development on some new products and services to address all of these needs that our customers are having, that are changing, that are evolving. So it's exciting times in our industry. What I think the best news is for customers is that they have so much choice, so much opportunity to improve their communications, provide a better experience at a fair cost that they didn't have before. It's a great time to be a customer in this space.
There you go, man. That's it. That's our 30 minutes. As always, thank you very much. Thanks for the listeners. Hope you enjoyed yourself. The constant banter between Steve and me trying to put him on the spot as much as I possibly can. And we will definitely see you guys on the next Stack 8 podcast. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, my friend.